Then.
From WBUR Boston and WRNI Providence, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. It's Friday night, and we're joined by the Ben Taylor Band.
I'm an island. Everyone can see that I'm an island. I've got ocean just about everywhere that I can see. So I'll be stranded unless you come to me. I would rather fall from grace completely than let you change my mind. I would rather bet my life against the rising of the sun. We can't be too careful about the friends you keep around you. You got some who never let you down, some who fail every day. And it's a blatant disrespect of privacy. It enrages me. I would rather fall from grace completely than let you change my mind. And I would rather bet my life against the rising of the sun. Understand me, I'm an island, and I'm finally by myself, the way I've got to be. Yes, and that's exactly the thing that's been killing me. I would rather fall from grace completely than let you change my mind. I would rather bet my life against the rising of the sun. I would rather bet my life against the rising of the sun. The rising of the sun. The rising of the sun.
Rick Musallam, Adam MacDougall, and Ben Taylor, members of the Ben Taylor Band. Now, if that voice sounds more than vaguely familiar, if the songwriting resonates with memory, you are not imagining things. Young Ben Taylor is of strong and very familiar musical genes. His mother is the great singer-songwriter, Carly Simon. And his father is folk rock legend James Taylor. That's a lot to live with. But Ben Taylor does not walk away from the lineage. He taught himself the guitar by learning his father's songs and was instructed in songwriting with a 15-page manual written for him by his mother. Ben Taylor has kept his music in the family on his latest album, Famous Among the Barns, the title inspired by a Dylan Thomas poem. He has both James and Carly, mom and dad, singing backup, and regularly performs at appearances with the family. Tonight, singing in the shadow and light of a vaunted gene pool with a new generation, the Ben Taylor Band. Rick Musallam, Adam MacDougall, and Ben Taylor live in San Diego Studioland. Welcome to On Point.
Thanks for having us. We're very pleased to be here.
Delighted to have you. Here we are with Famous Among the Barns, Ben Taylor. It's from a Dylan Thomas poem. What poem? Why?
Fernhill, and only because, I mean, I'm terribly fond of Dylan Thomas. He wrote a poem called Fernhill, and one of the lines was, "I was young and carefree, famous among the barns." And I thought that stylistically that was just like me.
I love that poem. I love that line about the happy yard and singing as the farm was home in the sun that is young once only. Time let me play and be golden in the mercy of his means. You grew up on Martha's Vineyard. Was that your golden farm environment?
It was. Yeah, it was indeed.
Sounds like you did your homework on
this. Yeah, you did your homework.
we've got you guys nailed.
You went to 20 years of English college.
We've got you guys so nailed. Ben, you carry around this enormous lineage, and it's so apparent in your voice. That's a place where I don't have the vocabulary, though I can hear James certainly in your voice, Father James. Can you articulate what it is about your voice that resonates with his?
We have, not that we've actually done any personal investigation of it, but I imagine we have very similarly shaped oral cavities to begin with, and our vocal cords probably vibrate in similar fashions. You know, everybody's vocal cords have different ways of going about shaking around, making mm-hmm. noise. I know for a fact, because my ENT told me so, and I've seen it on camera with one of those little throat scopes, that my vocal cords actually vibrate and resonate at different they're not in sync with each other. Most people sort of vibrate together, and mine sort of one flares at one speed and the other one goes at a different speed, so maybe that's it.
It's remarkable, really. Is it deliberate at all, or does it just flow out with that residence of the old man?
You know, as you said before, I did learn how to play the guitar by playing his songs, and as a very young man, he was certainly my vocal and musical idol. So when I learned to play his songs, as when you learn to play anyone's songs, I think that you mimic them to a certain degree. And I may have spent such a long time mimicking him that that's just how my vocal muscles trained themselves. At this point, it's not deliberate. At this point, I try to take whatever it is that I've made my own, which there is quite a bit of, if you
yes,
listen.
Yes, we can hear that, too. We can hear that, too. Tell us, if you would, about the origins of your band. You're 26 now. When did the band 26. Come together? How?
Sort of collectively over the past couple of years, just we rolled around like a ball of Velcro and picked up the right pieces.
There you go, Velcro, and it all sticks. There's a lot to talk about, but let us hear some more of this music from the Ben Taylor Band off your album, Famous Among the Barns. Can you play for us day after day?
We certainly can.
She likes to put on pretty things and watch herself go walking by. If she turns her head just so, just down her hair and glances low, you see another woman. She don't like early in the morning, best to let her wake herself. If you can't respect her warning, you might wind up waking someone else. Day after day, and nothing ever seems to stay the same. And every time she's up, she's almost down again. Yeah.
Day after day.
Day after day after day. There's nothing she can do to turn me away. Just within the limits of a dream, smoking tea with lazy queens, wrapped in scarves and draped in leaves. That's out loud, and sure enough, I can hear another woman wound up tight in the middle of the night. Company is hard to find. Long before the sky ever gets light, she holds her head and slowly starts to cry.
Day after day.
Nothing ever seems to stay the same. And every time she's up, she's almost down again. Yeah.
Day after day.
Day after day after day. There's nothing she can do to turn me away.
time she's up, she's almost down again. Yeah.
Day after day.
Day after day after day. There's nothing she can do to turn me away.
Day After Day, from the Ben Taylor Band and their new album, Famous Among the Barns. There's Ben Taylor, lead vocal and guitar, Rick Musalem, guitar and vocals, and Adam MacDougall with us today, percussion and vocals, usually plays keyboards, but we've got it all going on from San Diego. I've got to ask you, Rick and Adam, okay, you sit down with this young guy, Ben, who just happens to have these parents, Carly Simon and James Taylor. Every time he opens his mouth, people of a certain age turn their heads and say, who's that singing? Is this a pain in the neck, or is this an advantage, fellow band members?
Probably a pain in their neck because they're turning their heads.
Is your comrade here a silver spoon problem, or is he just a great musician to play with, or is he both?
He's not a silver spoon problem at all. He's but he is learning the ropes. We've all sort of been doing this for longer, and he's learning the ropes, and it's fun to watch him. Learn how to do this music thing all the time. It's a lot of work.
Ben, what's it been like for you to step up in the face of this legacy behind you?
You know what? I spent such a long time deciding whether or not it would be worth doing at all that now by the time I'm convinced that this is what I want to do, I'm more intimidated by the other musicians on stage with me than I am by the lineage thing. It really doesn't faze me. They're mom and dad. They're amazingly accepting of what I do. I'm super proud of them, but it's not as big a deal as our group collective effort and our own artistic concoctions.
What you're living, what you're singing right now. How long has the group been together? Is this your first album?
Mm-hmm. It is, and
yeah.
It began with the album, and the promotion of the album, the touring around the album has really been the life of the band, I feel. And that's been going on for about a year.
And are you still on tour with this music?
Hell yes.
We've been on tour since February 17th, and we will continue until July 17th.
Well, actually,
until July 2010.
Yeah. I got to sleep in my own bed last night.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Yeah, for the first time in more than 2 months.
2011. So long as we're working along with the Mayan calendar.
That's great. We're talking tonight with the Ben Taylor Band. Ben Taylor, son of Carly Simon and James Taylor. With us also Rick Musalem and Adam MacDougall. We'll be back with more of the Ben Taylor Band here to go out on from their CD, Famous Among the Barns. This is Mushroom Dance. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
I understand that mushrooms come from outer space. They always leave a smile upon my face. They have come from very far away. Show us what the heavens have for us today. Mushroom dance. Even my fears cannot this chance. Mushroom dance. Open your ears, because there's nothing more hypnotic than a trance. Everybody needs to lose their place sometime. Like no man alive can stay in time until he dies. All I mean to say is if you lose your mind, no one else is very far behind. Mushroom dance. Even my fears cannot resist this chance. Mushroom.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're joined tonight by the Ben Taylor Band. Here they are playing live, I Am the Sun.
Calling out your name as loud as I can without sounding bad. You've been within sight and looking out. So if you could hear me from where you've been standing, you'd have heard me by now.
all I've ever been since I've begun, and all I'll ever be until I'm done. I wouldn't ever want to hurt no one, but there's nothing I can do about waking up the sky while you're trying.
Ben Taylor Band from their new album Famous Among the Barns. Song there, I Am the Sun, with Rick Musalem, Adam MacDougall, and Ben Taylor, son of James Taylor and Carly Simon. Ben, lyrics here look like big-time double entendre, at least reading from a distance. I am the sun, that's all I've ever been since I begun, and all I'll ever be until I'm done. So is it or not?
Well, I mean, that's really up to you to decide. I mean, is that the way you feel about it?
Well, I'm neutral, Ben, but I'm willing to listen to it that way. And, you know, I guess I was probably, I don't know, 13, 14, 15 when your dad's first album came out. And it was your father and mother were both such enormous voices at a time when listeners of my age then were, you know, at that most musically impressionable age, that it really never goes away. And I have to say, the answer probably is yes, not to take the lyrics literally, but I would probably always hear that there.
That's cool. You know, I want people to interpret my songs the way that they do. And actually, I have to tell you the truth, this song was written on a sunny day on a beach when I was just looking up at the sun thinking about what it might be saying to me.
But, good for you.
But I don't know, there might be a hint of mom and dad in there. You know.
I want to just review that history a little bit because it really is fascinating and part of popular American music history. Your mom, Carly Simon, is tagged with this kind of confessional singer-songwriter vein that emerged in the early 70s. She was the youngest child of an upper-class New York family. Her father, your grandfather, co-founded Simon & Schuster Publishing. Is that right?
My God, he did? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, he did.
And
you just did way more homework than in any other interview we've ever had, so I got to play with you.
play all you want. She got into it with her sister, Lucy, your aunt, and Winking and Blinking and Nod in 1964, but then really off with That's the Way I've Always Heard It Should Be and Anticipation and You're So Vain and all the rest. Your dad, James Taylor, from New England, but his father went to teach at the University of North Carolina, which gave him that little vein of Country Road.
actually born and raised in Chapel Hill, somewhere in New England. His dad was dean of medicine at UNC, and they later moved to Boston full time so that his father could be instrumental in the sort of reconstruction of the UMass and Boston medical system.
Mm-hmm. Your dad was at Milton Academy, had a kind of wild '60s time there. In and out of McLean's, had a heroin addiction, and then just blossomed on the scene so enormously. And then November 3rd, 1972, playing at Radio City Music Hall, and announces to the crowd that he had that day married Carly Simon. When did you come along, Ben? And how much of your life did you spend with James and Carly?
What's McLean's? That's just me playing with you. I'm sorry, I can't help myself.
That would be one of the most eminent mental institutions in the nation.
Yeah, I know it. I know it all too well. Not that I've been there myself, but yeah. I'm thinking about it. The thing about their marriage was that they played, I can't remember if it was Carnegie Hall or Radio City Music Hall that night, but my father said, I know this is a little bit offbeat, but we're about to sing Making Whoopee, I'll tell you why afterwards. And my mom came out and said Making Whoopee, and they announced their marriage that night.
Married. That's great. Yeah. I think it was 10 years later or so they divorced, but what you spent 2, 3, 4 years with...
Yeah, he didn't specify who he was going to be making whoopee with, unfortunately.
Well, life is long and complicated. Were you raised mainly by your mother? Were you raised in New England? Or tell us.
I was raised sort of collectively by the two of them. They did the whole lawyer negotiation for the time of the kids.
Everybody knows it.
And throughout the course of both of their lives, they were with different people who either wanted us around more or less than others. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know, it's always gone through phases where I've spent more time with one than the other, but pretty much they're both pretty close friends, and I give them a lot of credit for raising me as well as they did, all things considered.
Did you have the sense of growing up in musical households? Was that the envelope of your life?
There was no way around it. It took me a while to actually realize that it was any different than anybody else's household, but yeah, it came to.
And how about earliest musical memories of your mother, of your father? Can you single them out, or was it just part of a continuum?
My mom used to keep us awake all night long telling us stories that with original musical components to them that the characters would sing, and so those are probably hers. Mm-hmm. And with my dad, I've been on tour with him since before I could speak, so I just remember him up on stage.
Your mother, of course, famous for You're So Vain and all kinds of names always associated, one of those great popular culture guessing games, Who's So Vain, Warren Beatty, Mick Jagger. I guess not your dad, since they weren't even married yet.
But he's still so vain.
We hear that. When you got ready to do some writing, your mother, as I understand it, handed you a 15-page songwriting manual that she had made for you. What did it say?
I'm not going to tell you. If I tell you, you'll tell everyone, and then everyone will know how to write songs, and then I'll be out of business.
Dude, I'm reading it in Rolling Stone here, so it's not exactly a secret.
but
give us a couple. Give us one or two lessons from the mistress, the master.
She said, always try writing a completely formless song when you're stuck with a pattern of verse, chorus, bridge. Try writing something completely without form. She said... Try writing a story about, you know, try taking it out of your own world and writing the actual biography of a friend of yours in song form. She just gave me 1,000 different things to try, different methods to try. She gave me rules like never write a line that you don't believe yourself. Never throw in bullshit just for the sake of rhyme. Things like that.
Sounds like all good lessons. Let us hear some more. Could you play, what do you got, Safe Enough to Wake Up?
With any luck. Yeah.
Wonderful. The Ben Taylor Band from the new album, Famous Among the Barns, with Safe Enough to Wake Up.
Come out on a Zoom with me. I know some places that you got to go to. Believing if you're feeling afraid, then we can wait till you're dreaming. Get your one in yellow submarines. Everyone's floating on some old school magical potion, just blowing off steam.
aquamarines and mermaid limousines. And the sea sends waves to sing your praise. And the night time's on fire from the lights above the world across the way. It would be a shame if you were not to wake up, if you forgot to wake up. Please don't be afraid, it's safe enough to wake up. Forget everything that you said and every lesson that you've ever learned to regret. Stop trying to guess what's coming up next and look up at the sunset. Even if you feel as though you haven't got a second to spare, I don't care. You don't have to wonder what to wear. Seasons waves to sing your praise, and the night time's on fire from the lights above the world across the way. It would be a shame if you were not to wake up, if you forgot to wake up. Safe enough to wake up.
Ben Taylor Band with It's Safe Enough to Wake Up. Ben Taylor, Rick Musallam, and Adam MacDougall with us today live from San Diego. What a pretty, pretty, pretty song, and a message that I guess takes me back yet again, Ben Taylor. When your father broke on the scene, he was seen in many ways as kind of soothing the young population anyway out of the tumult of the 60s. It was a kind of... let's cool down and get a little more inward-looking, a little less political. We're in a very political time right now. We've just come out of a war, and I hear in your song, again, a kind of a reassuring message. It's safe enough to wake up, look around, enjoy. Is it deliberate? Are you a political person? Are you more in the meditative vein? How would you see yourself?
This is actually, I'd say, probably the most political song on my album. It's just kind of ducked because... when I say that it's safe enough to wake up, I generally speaking mean that it's safe enough to take a look at what's really going around mm-hmm. in the world, and I don't think that it's I think it's safer to be aware of it than to remain blissfully asleep. But
so
I don't
step
think
up
it's
to
all
it,
right.
step
yeah.
up to it, don't duck it.
Yeah, that's really kind of what I mean. But in general, yeah, I don't necessarily want to write about. I'm completely uninformed. I mean, it's not like you can watch the news and get a good grasp of what's going on politically. You can formulate conspiracy theories all you want, and if I decided to write songs about that, then I'd drive myself crazy. But I can be subtle about it, and I can say what I can say as much as I know.
Let's ask you a political question anyway. We've just come out of a war. What did you think of the war in Iraq, Ben Taylor?
It's a very complex situation. I have the luxury of being a musician and a liberal and someone who runs in circles of people who have good ideas about peace, and that's a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. I would hate to be in George Bush and Dick Cheney's position anyway. And and I don't know what I would do in their shoes. So it's hard for me to give an absolute answer. I'm sad about the idea of killing anybody. Then even more than that, I'm sad about the idea of killing civilians. I dislike the idea of our inability to come up with nonviolent solutions to political problems, and I hate the idea of dropping bombs on the seat of civilization there in Mesopotamia, ultimately. But you know, it's a difficult question to answer because I'm uninformed. I was anti-war for sure, and I'm not real big on Bush Cheney.
I'd say that's stepping up. That's not a half bad answer. We've got to take a short break. We'll come back with more from the Ben Taylor Band from their CD Famous Among the Barns. This is Let It Grow. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
Such extreme exaggeration. I'll spend my morning in regretful contemplation. But my society approves it. All my people run to use and use and use it. 'Cause they need something to do. Everyone needs something sometimes. How about you? Don't just say no. Let it grow. Let it grow. They give me such fantastic vibrations. I can think of thousands of organic justifications. How many more times do we have to have this conversation? The darkness outside is dying. Oh, the fire is so inspiring. Fire is so inspiring. So don't just say no. Let it grow.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're joined tonight by the Ben Taylor Band. Here they are playing a new song, not yet released, called Nothing I Can Do.
First morning ever to have seen the sun must have run the other way. Till she found that it was only getting earlier that way. When she spun 180 degrees and beheld the sunlight rising through the trees, she fell to her knees and she began to cry. She had been in darkness for a long, long time. She said, there is nothing that I can do but belong to you. Heaven and earth, and I find myself singing this song for you. Would have it, it just so happens that there's nothing I'd rather do. And the first lesson ever to have learned its way must have been surprised. And all I can say is I'm just glad that I survived. And the first river ever to have met the sea, I believe he must have sighed. All that rambling I'm glad to finally find. After all I haven't just been wasting my time. And there is nothing that I
singing this song for you. As luck would have it, it just so happens that there's nothing I'd rather do. Just so long as you're flying around high, whatever you find out in the sky, don't forget to fall down sometimes. I'm easy to find, look around you. It's a good thing that I finally found you. There is nothing that I can do but belong to you. Heaven and earth, and I find myself singing this song for you. As luck would have it, it just so happens that there's nothing I'd rather do.
Rick Musallam, Andy MacDougall, and Ben Taylor of the Ben Taylor Band, they're singing as-yet-unreleased new song, Nothing I Can Do. Ben, how did you come up with the song? You said you wrote it on Martha's Vineyard not long ago.
We did. The lyrics and kind of the basic chordal framework was something that had been kicking around for a little while we were on tour. And I don't know, it came to mind with regard to feelings of devotion. I'm not a particularly devotional person, except on a day-to-day level.
Are we talking romantic devotion, spiritual devotion?
Whatever you feel like you need to be devoted to get into the feeling of the song. Really, it's about the devotion of the morning to the sun. It's about the devotion of the river to the sea. It's intended to be deeper than all of that. It's just intended to be truthful.
It works. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Your parents have been through a lot. What advice do they give you as you're setting out on this career? I know at one time you didn't intend to do it at all. Now you're doing it. Do they want to guide you, or do they say, good luck, man, find your own way?
They just say, so long as Andy MacDougall and Rick Musselman are there, that you'll have no problems.
Well, it is fascinating. You know, you click on the All Music Guide on the web, and here's the description of your dad's music. Gentle, refined, mannered, poignant, laid-back, mellow, amiable, good-natured, literate, soothing. And I can't that's him. Wait a minute, that's you. You know, there are cultures where musicianship just is handed down within the same family, generation after generation after generation. Do you imagine yours might be one of those families, Ben?
Actually, I think that this first album is a really good place for me to start. And this first album, I didn't have enough help from my bandmates until we were actually in the studio, and by then the songs were mostly written. Mm-hmm. On the next album that we do, it's going to be a different place that I'm coming from. It's going to be, I mean, I am me, and I have the values and morals instilled in my head that my parents have helped me with, as well as the books that I've read, as well as the friendships that I've had. Mm-hmm. I'm always going to be me, and my goal is always going to be to bring, I don't want to sound like a crystal gazer, but to bring hope and understanding and light on some level, but I want it to kick more ass.
That sounds like a fantastic combination. We'll wait for it. We'll look forward to it.
Yeah, look forward to it.
We will. Rick Musallam, Adam MacDougall, thanks so much for being with us tonight.
No problem.
Thanks for having us.
And Ben Taylor, many thanks to you as well.
Many thanks to you.
Let's close with the Ben Taylor Band cover of the Zombies song, Time of the Season. To find out more about the Ben Taylor Band and when they may be coming to your town, visit our website at onpointradio.org. This is On Point.
It's the time of the season where love runs high. In this time, give it to me easy. And let me try with pleasured hands, take you in the sun to promised land, show you everyone.
it's the time for the season of loving. What's your name? Who's your daddy? Is he rich like me? Has he taken any time to show you what you need to live? Tell it to me slowly. Tell you what I really want to know. It's the time for the season of loving.
In a moment, I'll be joined by On Point News analyst Jack Beatty. First, let's listen back to the sounds of this past week.
My fellow Americans, major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed.
The Americans shoot him up of the guns and the bombing and kill 15 people and injured 25 people.
I'm 100% sure that the people we shot at were armed. If it hit someone else because he's proximity to, next to him, or hid behind him like some of them have done, I can't promise you that.
We're at a point where we clearly have moved from major combat activity to a period of stability and stabilization and reconstruction and activities.
I had an opportunity to call both prime ministers early this morning to encourage them to do everything in their respective powers to make sure we get a good start down this path to peace. A new opportunity is being created. It's an opportunity that must not be lost, and I was very pleased at the response from both prime ministers who were anxious to move forward.
Mutual agreement, the aircraft that had been involved will, of course, now be able to leave, and they'll leave with our grateful, with us grateful for the support and cooperation that the kingdom provided.
We believe that the outbreak has stabilized and may be decreasing in Hong Kong, certainly in Vietnam and in Toronto. These countries will still have to make great efforts to control the outbreaks and contain them, but that they're well on the way to decreasing that epidemic curve so that they will go down to no cases.
And there's a week President Bush declares from the flight deck of the USS Abraham Lincoln that the United States and allies have prevailed in Iraq. But U.S. soldiers clashed with Iraqi demonstrators twice this week. 18 Iraqis were killed and nearly 70 were wounded in the incidents. Colonel Arnold Bray of the 82nd Airborne Division says American soldiers shot at the crowds in self-defense. Meanwhile, during a trip to Afghanistan, Donald Rumsfeld declares that the combat in that country is over, major combat. Colin Powell praises the long-awaited rollout of the roadmap to peace between Israelis and Palestinians, but just a day earlier, a suicide bomber killed three in Tel Aviv. The day after, Israeli tanks rolled into Gaza and killed 13. Donald Rumsfeld announces the United States is pulling its troops out of Saudi Arabia, and it was a good week on the SARS front as a representative from the World Health Organization says the epidemic appears to have peaked in some of the hardest-hit countries. Well, Jack, there we are. Big images this week and big words.
Yes, it's been a week of endings and beginnings, hasn't it? Afghanistan, major combat proclaimed over. Iraq, major combat proclaimed over. And we're finding, you know, the cruelties of Saddam Hussein exposed every day. Americans can be proud that those won't go on. On the other hand, we read about bombs hidden in soccer balls. We read about weapons everywhere. We read about militia forming. So there's a big question mark over the future. But nevertheless, the dictator is gone. And finally, the Saudi bases are going to be closed down. And that, of course, raises the great what if and the tragic what if, doesn't it? If we hadn't put those bases there in 1991, would the World Trade Center still be standing?
That's playing the look-back game, but of course it was beginnings as well.
Yes, it was beginnings. Martin Indyk, a frequent guest on our program, former ambassador to Israel, said that the war in Iraq was an earthquake in the Middle East, and it opened up possibilities between Israel and Palestinians. And, of course, when you look at what's happened to both these peoples just in the last months, the Israelis, I think, have lost nearly 60 people since the beginning of the year. The Palestinians, that many in the last, nearly that many in the last month. Peace couldn't come quick enough, I'm sure, for both people. And then Syria, Secretary Powell on his way there, and the possibility of perhaps a stand down in Lebanon, perhaps backing away Syria from Hezbollah in return. You could see the Israelis making a deal on the Golan Heights. The pieces are there, at least, for something.
So beginnings on that front. And so much, I don't know what the right word is, kind of desperation before the roadmap talks even really began, a sense that something really new is going to have to happen here to turn this into action. Martin Indyk had better be right that there's an earthquake that has shaped the underlying calculus, because if it's the same old, nothing happens. And you know, we have heard week in and week out for more than a year now, this is what must be solved to ultimately get things on the right track in this region.
Well, that would be part of the pattern following his father. I mean, his father used the Gulf War to, you know, initiate talks in Madrid, and then President Clinton carried them on that miscarried in the end, but that gave hope, at least for most of the decade. On the other hand, you're right. I mean, has the earthquake been felt in Washington already? 83 senators and 278 members of the House have signed letters saying don't put too much pressure on Mr. Sharon to make concessions to the Palestinians until all violence is over. So Mr. Bush is sort of he doesn't have as much room to maneuver as a president would in his second term.
There's beginnings and endings. Also, things continuing back on the home front. The big debate in Congress over tax cuts, President Bush still pushing for that $750 billion in tax cuts. And I've got a gripe this week, Jack. You know, we heard early on from the architects of this huge tax cut that it was not really, in fact, about economic stimulus. That, yes, it had been advertised that way, but no, it was really radical tax reform. This was people from the Club for Growth, people right next to the creation of these tax cuts. They said, no, it's not really. That's when they thought it was going through. Now, it's not going through so easily, and they're calling it economic stimulus again. It's an incredible flip-flop.
It is, and as everybody points out, the stimulus won't take place until the tax cuts take place, which won't be until 2004, 2005.
Which means the honest thing is that's not what it is, but that's the packaging once again. I mean, stand up and just call it for what it is.
Well, the president wants credit, doesn't he, for thinking about the economy, even if he's not going to really do anything about it.
Credit and maybe camouflage for something that's not so much economic stimulus, but a real fundamental change around how Americans are taxed. Fine, but why don't we say so in this administration one day?
Ah, wouldn't that be something?
Jack, have a great weekend. Good to have you all week long.
All right, Tom. Thank you.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
This is WBUR. We're funded.